Well, hello, friends and brothers and sisters. My name is Matthew Monona, and I want to welcome you to another installment of the verse-by-verse Bible teaching. This ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word. That is the hand car washing business my wife, Victoria, and I have opened up. And there we use the money we earn from washing cars to support this ministry and keep it going. Again, we never ask for tithes or offerings or charity or gifts or anything like that. We just ask that you would, if you do agree with verse-by-verse Bible teaching, that you simply would come by the Wash and Word and let us earn the money that it takes to keep this ministry going. We do it because we believe that verse-by-verse Bible teaching is hands down the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God for all that the world would throw at us. And we also wanted to explore unique ways of getting God's Word out there outside of the four walls of the church, and that's how this ministry and this business was born. And it's actually the opening part of a vision the Lord has given to get God's Word out there through other means and through other media. And one of those ways is to get businesses to play these verse-by-verse Bible teachings throughout the day, where you can tune into a radio station and hear them. But if you want some information about that ministry, you can go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all you need to know about this business and about the ministry. Or you can call 423-920-0913. All right, enough jibber jabber. Let's get back into what really matters, and that is God's Word. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, and we're going to pick it up in verse 7, where we left off yesterday. Before we read verse 7, we'll just do a quick recap of where we're at in the chapter. Basically, this chapter is about obeying governments, obeying laws, and how they have the power to force you to obey them. So you might as well do it willingly, and not just willingly, but doing it as unto the Lord. Because when we obey the governments and the laws and the rules, because we know that God put them there, there's a reward that comes with our obedience. So why be forced to do something with no reward when we can voluntarily do it with a reward attached? And obeying God is always rewarding. All right, verse 7. Since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? Now, I would honestly, I'm going to stop right there. And believe me, I would love to read more before we stop. But sometimes God just arrests the situation and says, let's talk about that. So just this one verse, we're going to look at it. Since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? Now, one of the reasons God does not leave governmental obedience up to us, that is, yes, we have a choice to obey if we don't want to, but what he's saying is that, you know, being obedient unto our government isn't really a choice, is it? Because again, as we looked at, if you don't obey, you're going to be forced to obey. And even if you don't obey during force, you'll be forced to pay the penalty. So again, governmental obedience, God doesn't leave that up to us. We're basically forced into doing it. And the reason God doesn't leave it up to us to willingly obey, in a sense, is that he commands it over our understanding of it, because we don't know what the master plan is. So simply put, God wants us to obey the laws, the rules, the treaties, the direction the government's going, even if we don't understand it, even if we don't agree with it, because, as Solomon says, we don't know what the master's plan is. Is not the master plan, the master's plan. No man knows the future. Who can tell what is to come? How many of you have gone through something in your life where only in hindsight, looking back, could you say, now I understand why I had to go through that? You know, when somebody gets, you know, robbed or mugged, they could easily it could create a spirit of disobedience towards the law. Well, why weren't you doing your job? You know, why can't you catch these people? But then, in hindsight, after a robbery, the insurance check comes, and all of a sudden, it's not as bad as you made it out to be, is it? And so, to kind of summarize that up, we'll put it this way. If God begins moving through political means in a way that seems hard or unjust or anti-American, and if the entire Christian community balks at it, well then, it might actually interfere, alter, or slow down God's will. Now, I didn't say stop God's will, because there's nothing we can do to stop the will of God. But I want to read that again, because some of you need to hear this. If God begins to move through political means in a way that seems hard, unjust, and anti-American, and if the entire Christian community balks at it or gets upset, you are probably going to be interfering, altering, or slowing down God's ultimate will for that situation. And I know it's a little lengthy to grasp, but I wanted to show you the detriment of an improper revolutionary involvement. Well, we might pipe up, that's not constitutional. Well, it might not be constitutional, but as long as it's not unscriptural, we are to obey it. All right, let's step back for a minute. I've been waiting for a chance to interject something. And let me just be honest, I've been struggling with this chapter. It's not that I have problems with obedience to government, but more like just struggling to try to get it to you in a way that's understandable. So anyway, bear with me if you've been listening to the last few messages. I realize it's kind of been a struggle, but I've been wanting to inject something here, and I guess this feels like as good a time as any. If you've been listening to the last few messages or any length of time to my sermons, you know that I believe and I preach that we are to obey the government until it contradicts God's word. And I know a lot of you would be in agreement with that. But herein lies the problem. Now, bear with me here, because there's a fine line between disobeying the government because it's anti-biblical and disobeying the government because it's not in the Bible. And I'll explain what I mean. We might claim, for instance, that God's word says in Acts 7:34, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. Now, that's a section taken out of Acts where Stephen is reciting ancient forefather truths. But it was God who freed them. And so, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean we're allowed to disobey the government. I guess another example might help to explain things. Suppose we rise up against governmental oppression, and we claim, heck no, we won't go, or heck with it, we won't submit, go away, we won't obey. I've got more, hang on. We won't heed to your greed, our soul you can't control. Okay, now I'm done. But let's just say we do rise up against the government, and we get on our Christian high horse, armed with the self righteousness of God's word, our sword. Here is where we need to be careful and pay attention to this, because the word says a lot of things. For instance, sexual immorality in the Bible is always wrong. Yet our governments are full of it. We see sexual immorality rampant in the governmental echelon all the way up to the presidency. Now, the question is, can we now disobey the government? Because God's word clearly says sexual immorality is wrong, and if the government is guilty of sexual immorality, well, then we are, as Christians and our high horses, allowed to disobey the government. Or take sorcery, for instance. The Bible is clear, and if you take sorcery and break it down to its bare root and origin, it's a reference to drugs and alcohol specifically. And we see throughout the world's political systems the abuses of drugs and alcohol in our government systems. So are we allowed as Christians to disobey the government? Because, well, God's word says that it's against his law to be drunk on wine or do the pharmaceutical sorcery stuff. I guess what I'm asking is, where do we draw the line? When to obey God's word over political ordinances takes wisdom. The kind of wisdom that Solomon has been preaching. We all know John 1:1 and John 1:14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So, to obey the Word is to obey Jesus, or is to look and gaze upon Jesus. John 1:14 goes on to say, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So if we want to be true obeyers of the Word, we must be gazing upon the Word, that is, Jesus. And so we cannot cease civil obedience because of, let's say, an unjust tax. Because we will tie this now with verse 7 in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, where, again, Solomon says, no man knows the future. Who can tell him what is to come? And since this whole chapter is about governmental obedience, we have to tie the two together. Just because of an unjust tax doesn't give us the right to disobey the laws and become civilly disobedient. Jesus made it clear to give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Why? Because, as Solomon said, you and I don't know the future plans of God. We don't know that an exorbitant tax, an unbiblical tax, will one day bring in, you know, whatever it is God's plan is. We don't know the future, so we can't make this decision to be disobedient to the laws. We cannot stop being civil. We cannot stop civil obedience because of physical minority abuse, corrupt cops, or on-the-take judges. Again, Jesus says, turn the other cheek, because you don't know what the future plans of God are. The Bible says to leave room for God's wrath. Vengeance is his. And if we step in and allow and say we're not going to be obedient, because we know that this type of behavior, this corruption and this unbalanced scales, it's anti-biblical, so we don't have to obey the laws. No, we cannot stop governmental obedience because they sin horribly. Jesus solved that issue by saying, let he who is out of sin cast the first stone. So when do we stop governmental disobedience? Again, we must look upon the Word, not the Bible literally, but the Word that became flesh. Jesus, most of the times, let the corruption exist, turned the other cheek, refused to defend or even answer, and was allowed to be beaten. But governmental disobedience must align with previously displayed acts of divine anger. Now that's going to require a little more explanation. And I told you this is a difficult chapter. So if you're trying to follow along, don't feel bad if you're getting lost, because your teacher's getting lost as well. Not really. I have it down. I have it under control, but it just can't be done in 15-minute increments. So again, come on back to our next installment here. We're going to pick it up where we left off, and we're going to talk more about God's word versus man's laws and when we can and cannot obey them. Have a blessed day. Go to washingword.com for info or call 423-920-0913.